5,000 years ago, it was the time when the Pandavas, with a P, were ruling the world. And at that time, the Pandavas were headed up by Yudhisthira. Who was more noble than Yudhisthira Maharaj, practically speaking? We know that Duryodhan had done anything one could imagine to take away the kingdom from the Pandavas. So much conniving in politics, he engaged this Shakuni in this dice game and so on. And we know very well that the Pandavas were banned and that for 13 years, 12 years, they had to be banned, and then 1 year incognito and all this. Right? So it is said that in the later part of the of that period that the Pandavas were banned, Karna one day came to Duryodhana. And Karna said that, I have knowledge about the whereabouts of the Pandavas. I know exactly where they are. And I have this brilliant idea. Why don't we go there? To Duryodhana, he said, why don't we go there and show off our success? Because after all, after 12 years having ruled the kingdom, Duryodhana was sort of settled in. He was well settled in, and he was having a glorious rule and reign. He had great wealth. So Duryodhana said, yes, let us go there and show the Pandavas. So they went there, and they came with many elephants, and Duryodhana brought all his wives, and they were also dressed up really at their very best to impress the Pandavas and make them feel even worse than they were already feeling in the forest. So, as they went there, Duryodhana was accompanied by a huge army. But when Duryodhana finally reached the location, they drove past a lake. And from that lake, suddenly a effulgent personality appeared. And the effulgent personality said, stop. Stop. You cannot go any further. Duryodhana said, who are you? I am the emperor of the world. Right? Get out of my way. Right? Before, you know, my army will deal with you. You don't tell a man who is followed by a huge army, stop. That doesn't work. But this effulgent personality was quite persistent, and it came to a fight. It turned out that the effulgent personality was a Gandharva. And Gandharvas are very powerful, very much more so than human beings. So within the fight, the Gandharva was causing great damage to Duryodhana's army. Even Karna, who was otherwise a very powerful hero, in the fight with these Gandharvas was in great difficulty. Even he had to retreat. So it got really out of hand. Meanwhile, the Pandavas were nearby in the forest, and they heard all about the battle and anything, and Bhima was saying, well, these Gandharvas are doing a great job. They're saving us a lot of trouble. They're fixing up Duryodhana for us. That is very good. And then Yudhisthira said, no, Bhima, no. He said, you know, for the world, there are no Kurus and no Pandavas. For the world, we are only Kurus. We are one family. We may have some difference within our family. That's okay. But when it comes to the world, we are one. Then we are not divided. Oh no. We are one. We are all Kurus. We are also Kurus. And if someone attacks one from our family, we must protect him. So we must go and we must protect Duryodhana. And Bhima said, protect Duryodhana? I mean, there are limits. Protect Duryodhana after everything he's done to us. We're supposed to protect him. And Yudhisthira said, yes. So finally, All the brothers, even Arjuna was shaking his head, but anyway, they agreed. They agreed, all right, then we'll go and protect Duryodhana. Then Yudhisthira says, yes, but I cannot go. What? He says, no, I cannot go because I'm busy with this sacrifice, this yajna that I'm performing now, so I'm sorry, I cannot go. But you can do it. So here they had to go save Duryodhana of all things. Like, Bhima couldn't believe it. Arjuna was shaking his head. But anyway, when they came to the spot, it was getting quite problematic, and the army of Duryodhana was virtually being defeated by the Gandharvas. But then Arjuna entered into the fight, and Arjuna shot many arrows. So much so that the Gandharvas suddenly got to feel the pressure of in the fight, and they began to retreat. And Gandharvas had the capacity to fly in the sky, so they went up, and they carried Duryodhana with them. And they would have flown away with Duryodhana, and we would have never seen him again. But Arjuna interfered. And what Arjuna did, he shot so many arrows that he made a net in the sky. And with this net in the sky, then the Gandharvas couldn't go any further. So they were stuck. And then Arjuna forced them to return Duryodhana, which they did. They said, but why are you interfering with us? We're only trying to help you. And Arjuna said, no, we are one family. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, one for all for one and all that. You know, these things. The musketeers and so on. Yes, the Duryodhana saved. Duryodhana was saved. So then Duryodhana was brought before Yudhisthira. He was saved. And then Arjuna had saved his life, so he went to Arjuna and he said, all right. He looked at the ground and he said, what do you want? What boon do you want? And Arjuna said, oh, that's okay. I'll take it later. He kept one up his sleeve for later. And then Duryodhana decided that he wanted to give up his life. This was too much for him to have been defeated in this way. First by Gandharvas at the moment of his glory and then saved by Arjuna. That was too much, too much. Anyway, he decided to fast and sit in a secluded place. And then what occurred is that suddenly he had a vision. He had a vision. And all the daityas, the demons, appeared before him and said, you cannot retreat like this. You cannot sit here and think about giving up your life. We have performed a great puja. And you are the result of that puja. You are the very result of that puja. So certainly our puja will be fruitful. Therefore your temporary reverses are not to be taken serious. We are with you. And yes, we have also deputed Karna, who has appeared to assist you, therefore you have nothing to fear. So then Duryodhana decided, okay, to return and to again take charge of the kingdom. So I wanted to focus for a moment on Yudhisthira Maharaj. I mean, what an amazing personality. Anyone would have said, great. Finally got rid of Duryodhana. God, this guy has been a thorn in our side forever. And well, you know, it's an honest fight with the Gandharvas. And if they take him away, let them take him. Let them take him far away. We can live without him. Everyone would have said. But that was Yudhisthira. Such a personality that he wasn't calculating according to his own material advantage or anything like that. He was calculating according to his duty. His duty as it was outlined in the scripture. That was Bharat's Yudhisthira. That's before this age of Kali began. Now, where do we find such caliber of people who live by their word, who are so truthful, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, that he never spoke a single lie in his life? Who can claim that? I'm from a business family in the Netherlands, so I can't claim that. What can be said? Yudhisthira drove a chariot which did not touch the ground, simply because he never spoke a lie. But in this age of Kali, these things now have gone. They have gone. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the story of Maharaj Pariksit, who is the grandson of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Equally qualified, it said. When the child was born, an astrologer was called, and the astrologer calculated and said, this child has the same characteristics and the same qualifications as his grandfathers. In his case, he had many grandfathers. So yes, that was Yudhisthira's grandson, Maharaj Pariksit. So Maharaj Pariksit, once in his kingdom, he noticed a low-class person who was dressed like in royal robes. And that he looked upon him and he saw this person standing next to a cow. He was holding a stick in his hand, and the cow had broken legs. Three legs were broken. One leg was still standing. So Maharaj Pariksit, who was a very qualified and intelligent ruler, he did not immediately jump on this person. First he inquired. He inquired from the cow, who has done it? Just imagine someone else would have done it, then the person would have come and he would have picked up the stick. Maybe he was not the culprit. So just to make sure, Pariksit was careful, because a king must be careful. If he punishes someone unjustified, he will get reactions. So he was careful. So then Maharaj Pariksit asked the bull. It turns out that the bull was Dharma personified. And Maharaj Pariksit asked the bull, Dharma, who has done this? The bull said, it is hard to say. The man with the stick who's done it is standing next to him, and instead of saying, he did it, no, which everyone would have said at that time, him came. But no, he didn't say that. He said, it's hard to say. He said, it could be the will of providence. On the other hand, it could be the result of my own activities. My own impious activities could lead to such result, the law of karma. It is hard to say what is the cause, really, of what transpired here. So he never saw Kali as the cause. He looked for a deeper cause. Maybe the will of the Lord, maybe my karma. This person who's just beaten me, he's just the instrument of a higher cause. He saw like that. Meanwhile, Maharaj Pariksit was ready to punish Kali. And just when he was challenging Kali, Kali suddenly gave up his royal robes, and Kali just bowed down at the feet of Maharaj Pariksit and begged, save my life. And then Maharaj Pariksit said, all right, anyone who surrenders to me, I will not kill him, but you can't stay here. You have to go. Kali said, no, but I am existing. Where will I go? I have to live somewhere. So then he said, you can stay in those places where there is gambling. There you can go. Where there is intoxication, there you can go. Panam, jutam, striam, where there is illicit sex, there you can go. Sunam, where there is meat eating, there you can go. He said, so. But there were no such places. He was looking everywhere. There was no gambling. Can you imagine? No casinos in those days, believe it or not. Yeah. Well, I don't know what people did with their free time. No intoxication at all. Not even coffee and tea. No. They didn't have in those days. No coffee, can you imagine? No tea. So what was life all about? No gambling, no intoxication. No meat eating, nothing. No meat eating, no fish, even on the South Coast. Yeah. No fish, meat, eggs, nothing like that. Not even eggs, but eggs are not alive. Yes, that is true. What is the Swamiji? We are vegetarian. What is the problem in eating eggs? We are not killing any animal if we are eating eggs. Yes, but it is not meant for eating. It's meant for producing small chickens. It's not meant for food. See the logic? So no meat, fish, or eggs. And finally, no illicit sex or no sexual activity outside of marriage. And even then there were some. That was the Garbhadhana Sanskara in the Vedic times, where they performed proper sacrifice to obtain suitable children. Because if it is a Saturday night and you ain't got nobody, it's one of those nights, and she had got out of hand in the back of the car. Excuse me to mention such a thing, but then, according to Bhagavad Gita, Adharma Bhivavat Krishna Pradushyanti Kula Striya Strisa Dusta Suvaishneya Jayate Varna Sankara. Then what you'll get as a child is Varna Sankara. Those are those beings that follow Lord Shiva. It said Lord Shiva is followed by many lower creatures, because Lord Shiva is very merciful. He is merciful to ghosts, and they mention in the scripture hobgoblins, whatever they are. I've never seen one, and hope to never see one either. Hope there's none here. But anyway, such creatures. Yes. So then it is said that those ghosts, they take their birth in the wombs of, they are conceived in the wombs of ladies who are engaged in illicit sex. All right, so then we know, last life your little darling might have been. Bhagavad Gita, what can I say? Yes, so I'm just bringing in this element, which is the element of the age of Kali, as you can see. The age of Kali, all these activities which were at the time when Kali came before Maharaj Pariksit, these things were not going on. They did not exist in the kingdom of Pariksit Maharaj 5,000 years ago. But then Kali came back and said, yes, but you told me I could stay in these places, but there are no such places. I must go somewhere. Finally, Maharaj Pariksit then told him, all right, you can stay in places where gold is stored. And wherever gold is stored or wealth is stored, all these other things will come. So Kali was very satisfied, and he did well, as we can see. Since then, in the last 5,000 years, he did very well. He spread his influence widely. So that is the problem, and the result is that practically all good qualities now have become depleted and weak. I was reading a story where it is said that knowledge and renunciation, they had become very weak. They had become very, very depleted due to the influence of Kali. Virtually speaking, they had become very old for their age. Although they were young, they looked extremely old, very old, weak and gray. You would think they were 80, but they were young, very old. And it said that their friends and relatives, such as truthfulness, such as tolerance, such as wisdom, all these were also very weak. Friendship was totally crippled, was seriously crippled. Friendship could barely walk. Friendship only existed on the basis of profit. So gradually, in the age of Kali, all these qualities became weak. But one quality, somehow or other, was still useful. That was bhakti. Bhakti still stood. Bhakti was unaffected. So, after a long time of not having seen each other, bhakti met renunciation. And it's like, renunciation, you are still alive. I haven't heard from you so long. I thought you would have passed on by now. Oh, renunciation. I heard you were not in good health. Then renunciation, so bhakti is it? Bhakti, you haven't changed at all. You're still ever fresh. What happened? How come? My dear bhakti, my dear devotional service, how come bhakti has survived when all other qualities have become weakened? Bhakti explained, because of this benediction, Kalu tad hari kirtanat. Because in this age of Kali, there is hari kirtan. And this hari kirtan is the nourishment of bhakti, the nourishment of devotional service. It is the essence of devotional service. Actually, it is the most important activity within the realm of devotional service. Everything comes from that. So in this way, this was the secret of Bhakti's youth. She looked very, very young and elegant as ever, and totally fresh and rejuvenated. All the others, they were weakened. Yes, who in this age, where in this age is fine truthfulness? Where in this age is found a brahmana? A brahmana is the embodiment of truthfulness. We find in the Jabala Upanishad, we find a reference to Satyakama Jabala. And it said Satyakama Jabala was, when he was a young boy, he came before Gautama Muni and he asked Gautama Muni for being accepted as his disciple. Gautama Muni said, I will only accept those who are Brahmanas, no one else. So he asked the boy, he said, so what is your Gotra, what is your family lineage? And the boy said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? He said, who's your father? He says, I don't know. Then he was accepted. Then Gautama Muni said, you're a Brahmana because you are truthful. You are truthful. And he called him Satyakama. Satyakama. He who is completely always acting upon the truth. Not only speaking the truth, but living by it. Living by the truth is more than just not lying. Living by the truth is living by the scriptures. So such a personality he was. And he became a very exalted person. So that is a Brahmana. Who is a Brahmana in this age? Kshatriyas. Who are the Kshatriyas? They are meant to protect people. Where are the governments today that protect the people? About that I don't need to speak. I don't want to enter into politics. But if everyone thinks that the South African government is there to protect the people, then I don't know. That may be a little bit... they may be dreaming. Uh-oh. Must be Suma on the line.
So we are, yeah.
then the Vaishyas, a Vaishya. Vaishya is a businessman, and profit goes before Dharma. Dharma is a good thing, but if it's about profit, first take the money and then worry about the Dharma. That is Vaishya mentality, what to say. Sudra mentality is just, a Sudra cannot see any point in Dharma at all. Just be natural. Just do it, as it says on certain t-shirts. What to say? So like this, the Sudra will not abide by any restriction. It's not natural. So, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. That has become the standard of life in the age of Kali. So that's very normal, and that's what we see. In Vrindavan, where I lived for quite a number of years, and there is no fishing. There is a river, but there is no fishing in the river. It's not allowed, and no one will ever think of doing such a thing, fishing in the Yamuna, which is Krishna's river. And it's not going on. That doesn't happen. So this is very nice to see. But otherwise, a person who is not adhering to Dharma, he'll eat anything, he'll do anything, will not follow any rules. So that has become the normal standard in this day and age. Even in India, this is now going on. And what to speak outside of India? Even in India, everyone, if you travel on a train, which I haven't done for a while in India, because now they have cheap lights, but if you travel on the train, and then they will, everyone, it is one big family, and they're talking the whole way, and then when they see you, then they say, they'll quote some slokas from Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhanam vinasya sadhuskritam dharmasam sadhanatya sambhava yugi yugi. Like that. Everyone will quote some verses from Bhagavad Gita. Some quote many verses, but at the end they will say, Swamiji, tell me one thing. What is your secret? Where do you get the strength to follow all these things? We know all these things. We know it. But how to follow it all? We know very well what one should do. We know it. But how to follow it all? So how to answer such a question? One could say, one day renunciation came. And renunciation was in a very depleted, run-down position, very old and weak. And so were his friends and relatives. Knowledge, friendship, wisdom, truthfulness was practically gone. One can begin a story like that and finally come to, but one was still youthful and still alive and still very, very fit and untouched. She was shining brightly. Bhakti Devi, devotional service personified. How? What was the secret of her youth? When all others had aged so much, what was, and were so weak? What was the secret of her strength now in this age of Kali? It was Kalu Tadhari Kirtanat. It was this Hari Kirtan. Hari Kirtan. So renunciation asked Bhakti further questions and said, but how can I be rejuvenated like you? Is there also a place for me in this age? Maybe there's a place for you. No, there is a place for you. There is a place for you. If you are getting mercy of the Lord, where there's mercy of the Lord, along with kirtan, everyone can get the full benefit. Yes. The essence of kirtan is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Pariksit, somehow or other, one day went into the forest. And when he went into the forest, he was very thirsty. There he saw a sage in meditation. He asked the sage for some water, and the sage did not even bother to reply. The king was dying of thirst. He's a king. Wherever he comes, he's getting a royal reception. And now he's asking for a simple thing, some water. You know, they'll offer him anything. Your Majesty, this juice, that juice, what would you like? And milk, whatever, anything. Can't get ordinary milk, at least full of spices and this. He's a king. He's asking for some water. He's denied water. The sage didn't even bother to reply. It happened to be so that a dead snake was lying near to the sage. Maharaj Pariksit took that snake and said, you could not offer me any reception? You could not even offer me some water and a garland? Not even one? I'll offer you a garland. And he took the dead snake and hung it around the neck of the sage. Of course, that was not a good thing to do. But anyway, when the son of the sage, who was still very young, a boy really, when he came, he was trained as a brahmana, but he did not yet have very developed intelligence. He wasn't thinking deeply, and he cursed the king to die within 7 days. So Maharaj Pariksit then accepted the curse. He went to the bank of the Ganges, sat down, and waited for the 7 days to pass. In those days, Maharaj Pariksit heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in one verse, the whole message of the Bhagavatam is summarized. So I'm saving you the trouble. Because it's 18,000 verses. So you can be pay attention just for a moment. You know, if you catch this one, it's a shortcut to 18,000 verses. So that helps. It's been identified like that as the one verse that sheds light to all the other verses. It is said the paribhasa. The paribhasa. This bhasa is referring to lighting. The one verse that lights up all other verses, the Paribhasa Sutra. Sutra in a condensed form. Etecham sakala pumsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. I appear again and again, millennium after millennium, in so many forms, as so many avatars. But in this form of Krishna, I am Bhagavan Swayam. I am Swayam, the Supreme Lord Himself, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything emanates, who is the origin of all other forms and the origin of everything that exists. That original personality am I, Sri Krishna. That is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the conclusion of all the 18,000 verses. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he's Bhagavan, he's the Supreme Lord. Ah. So our Jiva Goswami, who's a very great scholar, he gave an interesting explanation of the word Bhagavan. One sec. He says, Bhagavan, in Sanskrit, you can break it up in syllables, and you can say, it's made of three syllables, ba, ga, and va, Bhagavan. So ba, he says, stands for bhajaniya, ga stands for guna, and va stands for vasista. Bhajaniya, guna, vasista. What does it mean? It means Krishna is Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Krishna means he's all attractive. He is bhajaniya guna visista. He is so attractive, he is irresistible. You have to worship him. That is the secret. The secret of Harikirtan. One can chant many mantras. So many mantras are chanted. Well, neighbors are also chanting. Also chanting God's name. There's God's name. So many names of God are being chanted. So many gods are being worshipped. But if one chants the name Krishna, it has one unique feature. And that unique feature is that it is bhajaniya guna visista. That if one chants that name, after a while one finds it irresistible. Irresistible. One just can't. One can't help it. One catches oneself. Sometimes it slips out, Krishna. Krishna. Yes, like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Yes, it is so nice. So in this way, because This name is irresistible, Bhajaniya Gunavisista. Therefore, if we chant this name of Krishna in kirtan, then suddenly our bhakti becomes revived. Our bhakti becomes revived. Suddenly our devotion wakes up again. It was asleep. But again, it comes to life and it just comes out with enthusiasm. And then suddenly, as bhakti is getting more prominent in our life, then we see that suddenly some other qualities come back also. Some forgotten qualities. Truthfulness comes back. Selfless friendship comes back. Even some renunciation. Why bother with so many complicated things? Keep life simple. Then one has more time for the Lord. Why work day and night to get a bigger car than the neighbors? It doesn't matter so much. As long as we drive, who cares? Who has the biggest car? I have the biggest car. Yes, good for you. You also have the biggest bill. So, wish you well. Keep things a little simple, manageable, and have some time for kirtan. Yes, because this kirtan, it will bring us to life. And suddenly, all good qualities of Dharma gradually return. Because Dharma follows bhakti. See, where there is devotion, where there is devotional service to Krishna, then all the qualities of Dharma gradually come back. And as we see, in a world where there's no devotion to Krishna, where has Dharma gone? It is stated that in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Ginadibi Saha. It is said that when Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago, that Dharma and Jnana went with him. Dharma Ginadibi Saha. They left with him. But Kalo Nastadrisam Esa. In this age of Kali, some vision is still retained. Purana Kodanoditaha. By the mercy of the Bhagavatam. So today, I spoke a little from the Bhagavat about Maharaj Pariksit and his position. I gave a conclusion from the Bhagavat, explaining that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. I explained that Krishna is irresistible and that by Hari Kirtan, or by chanting the name of Krishna, that gradually our natural devotion will awaken. And why Krishna? Why not any other name? So many names, so many gods. Why Krishna? Because he has that one unique feature. He is Bhajaniya Gunavisista. He is irresistible. You have to worship him. What can you do? Thank you very much. And if there's a question or a comment from your side, that's most welcome. And otherwise, we will conclude after a talk like this with, guess what? A little more kirtan. So if there's a question or comment, most welcome. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed our little katha. Such katha is described to be not just enjoyable, not just interesting, and in a way also entertaining, a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon. But beyond that, it is that to just such katha is giving us eternal benefit. Of course, in India, everyone knows, and therefore they always go to the katha, even if it is very dry.
Samsara Sagarma. Janmara Mritya Chola.
So much Asirvad. Oof. So, in this way we can see, but I hope that my presentation was a little bit attractive. It must be, because it was about Krishna, and he is Bhajaniya Guna Visistha. So it cannot go wrong. He is irresistible. Yes, that's how we became devotees of Krishna. So with your permission, then we'll have a little more kirtan, and then we will conclude the program.